During World War II, Nazi Germany, of course, imprisoned all the Jews. And there was a family that was living in Germany at the time that decided that they were going to try to save as many Jewish people as they could. And they actually built a false wall in their house and hid some people in there. It was the Ten Boom family. And there were two daughters, Betsy and Corey Ten Boom. And the Germans found out about the fact that they were hiding these Jews, and so they put Corey and Betsy in a concentration camp. And Betsy died there. Years later, Corey Ten Boom wrote a book called The Hiding Place. And then she wrote some memoirs. This is from one of her memoirs. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filling out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that that's where forgiven sins are thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence. And in silence, they collected their wraps, and in silence, they left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment, I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, and the next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its arch overhead lights. The pathetic pile of diseases and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parched skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. And now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, our sins are forgiven at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among the thousands of women? But I remembered him, the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with a single one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard in there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from you, from your lips, Fraulein. And again the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sins had every day been forgiven and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds he stood there, his hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I have ever had to do. Forgiveness. We're continuing our sermon series about relationship. And relationships are so important. We were built for relationships. We're designed for relationship. We're a social animal. But the thing that most comes in between relationships is forgiveness. forgiveness. And I'm sure you've heard thousands of sermons about how we're supposed to forgive, about how Jesus says we're supposed to forgive 7 times, 70 times. You've heard it over and over again, and sometimes those sermons have helped you to forgive other people. And it works most of the time until it doesn't. Until you know that there's a time that you simply cannot forgive. What do you do in those moments? How do you find the strength to forgive in those moments? It is important. So we're spending just a little bit of time this morning, and maybe I'll give you some other things to help you forgive. Because you know that Jesus wants you to forgive, so maybe you just need to suck it up and just do what Jesus commands, right? You've heard him say, forgive 70 times 7 times. In our gospel lesson, if we have a brother that has sinned against you, then go up to him and tell him, you have caused me harm, and there's a problem with this relationship, and when the relationship comes back together again, you're brothers, you can walk arm in arm, be happy. Until it's your brother that has done something so horrible that you can't do it. It is Jesus' command to forgive. And we should forgive all the time for a lot of things. But sometimes it is very, very hard. I'll give you some more reasons why you should forgive. Your physical health. How about that? There was a study that was done recently by a person. I didn't get the name. Oh well, it's one of those hospitals. They said this: whether it's a simple spat with your spouse or a long-held resentment towards a family member or a friend, unresolved conflict can go deeper than you realize, and it may be affecting your physical health. The good news: studies have found that acts of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, reducing pain, blood pressure, and levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. And research points to an increase in the forgiveness health connected as you age. There's an enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed, says Karen Swartz, MD, that's who it is, director of the Mood Disorders Adult Consultation Clinic at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Chronic anger puts you into flight or fight mode, which results in numerous changes in the heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. Those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, and diabetes, among other things. Forgiveness, however, calms stress levels, leading to improved health. So if you want to live a long and happy and healthy life without any heart disease, or just forgive people, all right? Make you live longer. And it works. Until it doesn't. Well, it's also good for your emotional health. If you look online and go to psychological websites, you'll find out that they don't necessarily believe in it, that forgiveness is good. For example, here's Deborah Sherman, Psychology Today. Though society pressures you to forgive the person who wronged you, the truth is, this is a psychologist, the truth is that forgiving may be the worst thing you can do. Many religions and therapies focus on forgiving a perpetrator so that the victim can move on. The goal is to make sure that the victim does not become fixated on the hurt. This element is critical because if you become completely obsessed with your victimization, you will not be able to function. That, in fact, fixating freezes you. However, forgiveness is not something that just happens. Some people find it helpful to release their anger, while others find the idea disgusting. I've dealt with my share of patients, of parents of murdered children. And though many find ways to move forward in life, forgiveness truly eludes them. This does not make them bad people. This just means that it is not healing for them at this time. It may be surprising to learn how many people will pressure survivors. It may be surprising to learn how many people will pressure survivors to forgive a perpetrator. This was an element to being a profiler that I never expected. Survivors and those left behind after a murder are preyed upon and used more often than you would think. Family members tell them that if they don't forgive, then they are going to hell. In some cases, I've seen families turn their backs on victims because they wouldn't go along with the program and keep their mouths shut. They're told to forgive their attackers and let it go. If they cannot do so, then they are banished from the family unit. Again, forgiveness. It's easy to put on paper. It's easy to talk about. But when someone has really, really wronged you, how very difficult it is. So how do you forgive? When Jesus says forgive 70 by 70 times, how does it work? I want you to go to Colossians 3 with me this morning. We read it. This is verse 12 through 13. Listen carefully. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, in this section of Colossians, what Paul's talking about is that as Christians, we should become more and more like Jesus. We should put on, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and yes, forgiveness. But it doesn't just happen overnight. The sayings of Jesus, of what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live, are good sayings. There are things we should do, but they don't just happen overnight. When you are building your faith, when Christ comes into your life and you do things that Christ calls you to do, even though you know that they're difficult, what you are doing is you're building faith. Christ says, turn the other cheek. Maybe you can't turn the other cheek, but maybe one time you say, you know, I think in this situation I can turn the other cheek, and so you do. And you learn that Christ is still with you, that life still goes on, and it builds your faith. I like to think of faith as like a muscle, that the more you use it, the stronger it gets. And so your whole life is one of improving that muscle of faith, because all of the sayings of Jesus go countercultural. They don't make any sense. And it takes faith to follow them. And so, yes, there are times in your life where God calls you to forgive, and you forgive because you know it's the right thing to do, and your faith gets stronger, your muscle gets stronger. But there are times when forgiveness is required of you, and you simply aren't there yet ready to forgive. And I would imagine that if you are Corrie Ten Boom, and you've just given a talk, and the guard that was there that caused your sister's death wants forgiveness, that it's a very difficult time. But she continues on. I had to do it. I know that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. She heard that law pretty clearly. I knew it was not only a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalid. It was as simple and horrible as that. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. But you supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder. It raced down my arm. It sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bring tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. What an incredible story of faith. She knew she had to forgive, that psychologically, emotionally, physically, her life would not be good unless she forgave this man. But it was a hard burden. Would she have the faith? And somehow, Christ gave her the faith to reach out her hand, and forgiveness happened. It was a blessed moment. And her faith grew immensely on that day. Right? So from that moment on, she was able to forgive. Not so quickly. And having thus learned to forgive in the hardest of situations, I never again had difficulty in forgiving. And I wish I could say it. I wish I could say that merciful and charitable thoughts just naturally flowed from me from then on, but they didn't. If there's one thing I've learned at age 80 years old, it's that I can store up good feelings and behavior, but only draw them fresh from God each day. Maybe I'm glad it's that way, for every time I go to him, he teaches me something else. The reason why Christ wants us to forgive is because it builds our faith. And we need to spend our whole life building faith in the little things, so that when the time comes that you have to use that faith in the difficult things, that the faith is there, the strength is there, the power of God in your life is there. None of us forgive perfectly. The only person that ever forgave perfectly is Jesus. And I have known some people that have strong faith that still struggle with forgiveness in that one area. They're still children of God. They are still forgiven by God because none of us can forgive perfectly. None of us can do it right. But when we do, it builds our faith. The power to forgive does not happen overnight. Sometimes it does, and God's Spirit gives us the strength to forgive. But many times it doesn't. The only person who has ever been perfectly able to forgive is Jesus. The rest of us will struggle in our faith to have the capacity to forgive all the time. Learning to forgive is basically learning how to be like Christ. It takes faith to believe that when we forgive, Christ is shaping us to be like him, and that is not easy. Faith is like a muscle. The more we act like Christ, the stronger our faith gets. And we may be like Christ in some areas, but we fall short in others. And that is why his perfect forgiveness is so important. Because our lack of forgiveness does not separate us from his love. The key is to build faith in the areas where we can, so that we have strength to follow Christ in the areas that are difficult. And it may take a lifetime of following Jesus before we can follow him in the most difficult area of forgiveness. And yes, it's true, sometimes we may not get there. But God is present when we forgive, and heaven rejoices, and there's incredible faith building. And it is the key to relationships. And you all know this. You all know this. So forgive the little things. Build the faith. And may Christ's presence and strength fill you when you need the strong faith to forgive the big things. In his name, amen.